It's so powerful that as a body in Christ that it's not dependent on one man, right? We talked about that last week, how we as a church, when there are those powers, when we work joint to joint, and we share in our giftings, and the message of God is the same, despite the messenger, right? The messenger can be different, but the message of the Word of God remains the same. And so I want to encourage you this morning, as you hear this brother share this word, receive that message in your heart, but also let it encourage you to be reminded, like, listen, you are equipped to do the work of ministry yourself, right? You don't need to be an elder or a pastor. You have the giftings of God too. And I pray through this, as this brother shares, that also the Lord uses that in your heart to encourage you, that he can use all of us as a church. So Brother Brian, I want to call him forward. Brian is here. He's actually one of our elders here, and but more than that, he's a dear, beloved brother to me and to this body. I just love Brian so much, and if you've gotten to know him, I'm sure you have such love for him in your heart too. He's such a love for the Lord. So as he shares this morning, receive the gladness, the word in your heart this morning. So Brian, I'm going to let you hear.
You let the kids out?
Yes.
Yeah, let's let the kids go. Kids are growing up, far about the teachers, thank you so much. All the teachers were volunteers as well. The kids well, it's a pleasure to be with you. My name is Brian Dillon. If you have my name is Brian. I am one of the missionaries actually that support what I've done in the last 5 years with the missions. And I just want to thank you guys as a missionary. I think this church is, I brag on you guys every time I get a chance. There's not a lot of churches that has a measurable percentage of missionaries out in the field, from the body, and this is one of those places. I pray that we get more missionaries now, and I believe that that is actually in the works for this next year, so I'm so excited. What the Lord is doing here in this church, through you guys, your prayers, your support, both in prayer and in finances. And so I just thank you on behalf of all of the missionaries that we have had over the last 5 years, literally in the last 5 years. Some of us are still out in the field, and we just thank you guys. So, So as a missionary and also an elder, I get to be an elder now. I join these amazing men of God that just, we want to help encourage and develop this church. And so today, the Lord really put on my heart a message on hope. So, so let's go ahead and stand. Let's go to that next screen. We can read from the word together. And so I'm going to do this in the ESV. That's really small. Yeah. Sorry, guys. It's really tiny. I was like, maybe I should make it bigger. Okay. Good thing I didn't do all the verses. Anyway, so we're going to do 6 through 12. And if you have your Bible out, you can just read it in whatever language you like, or the translation. 6:1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to the truth, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits, for it is impossible in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, and have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding him up to contempt. For land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for whose sake it is cultivated receives a blessing from God, but if it bears thorns and thistles, it's worthless and near to being cursed. end to be burned. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. For God is not just, unjust, so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do. And we desire, each one of you, to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Amen.
You have a seat. So before I get into my official preaching, I'm going to do what I think happens a lot. I felt like the Lord has had an exhortation in this before I get to the actual teaching on hope. And I really think, as I was reading this, I don't, like, the middle verses there are kind of hard verses to read, right? 4 through 8 are kind of like, are you serious, God? Like, I don't know if you ever read the Bible and you're like, this is really in the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, there's even more confusing, more challenging phrases in the Bible than this one. But God, right?
Amen.
But anyway, I was like, well, Lord, you know, what is this word? And so I'm not going to teach on it, but I'm going to use it to say this. As believers, I don't know how many of you are, I kind of want to read the room real quick. Maybe kind of a little poll. First of all, if you don't know Jesus yet, I want to say I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
It's really awesome that you're exploring that idea. Just say, because he loves you. So if there's anyone here that doesn't yet know Jesus, I want to say thank you for coming and welcome. I hope you continue to explore who he is. But I'm kind of curious, those who already know Jesus and have accepted him as your Savior, who is like pretty new in their faith? So let's say you accepted Jesus in the last 3 years. Probably. How about in the last 5 years? Okay. 10 years? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, come on, I'm in the 40s also, yeah, how about 50, yes, that's an old timer, 60 years, come on, Jesus,
wow,
yeah, 70 maybe, yeah, wow, well, the reason I'm asking that is honestly, I love in this very beginning, verses, what's that? 1, 2, 3. It says, let's get past the elementary. Like this, there's another passage. It's also in Hebrews. It says, let's get past just drinking the milk. Let's eat the steak, guys.
Yeah.
And this whole passage is kind of like steak. Like even I think, oh, it's kind of hard. I don't know how many times I've heard people teach on hope. I kind of think it's kind of how far I've worded to teach. I could be wrong. I'm sure I've heard a few teachings in the last 50 years of my life. I don't really remember. But I really want to just challenge you guys.
Yeah.
When you see something challenging, we should be eating from the Word. We should be receiving. We should be challenged to go deeper. We need to get on with it. I was going to read this from the Message. I'm going to read the first 3 verses from the Message. It's fascinating. I love all the different translations. The Passion is really good too. But this one's really kind of, it's either really offensive or humorous. So you can choose which way you want to go on this. But it says, so come on, let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place. We know John 3:16, right?
Yeah.
Let's get beyond that. And today I'm hoping that we're going to get beyond that. I know so many of us we're not baby Christians, right? The majority of this room are 20 years and over. So we should be in the state. We should be really hungry.
Amen.
We should be really hungry. I pray that becomes a part of our story even more than this year. We're fasting to become hungry for the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Right? than just a hunger in our stomach, but a hunger for how we use our time, but a hunger for the Word. And so, today, as we go on, I want to start with this word of hope. And so, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:13. There we go. So now faith, hope, and love abide. The three. The greatest of these is love. So these three words are what we call theological virtues. Sound really educated here. But theological virtues are there's cardinal virtues which affect how we relate to each other, and then there's theological virtues which are how we relate to God. And so faith, hope, and love are how we relate to God. And the greatest of these is love. So there's really no question. Love is actually a teaching, it's a word, it's a way. It's eternal. We're going to actually always have God's love. We don't have to exercise love. Or we will always exercise love, but we won't always have to exercise hope and faith. So it's kind of an interesting thing. Right now, we need hope and faith as well. And so for me, I don't know if you guys do this. Every year I ask the Lord for a new word, kind of a prophetic gift. Instead of setting resolutions, I set or ask for a revelation. And so I don't know if you guys do this. I highly recommend it's not too late. I literally say, God, I want a new word for me this year. If you guys want to do it, literally just ask Father, do you have any word for me? Listen. The word that popped in my head is hope. There's a lot of reasons for that, as you'll learn soon. I always want to test it. So as you ask and you hear it, say, "Hey, Father, just confirm it for me." Literally 30 seconds later, I'm listening to YouTube teaching. And this guy's like, "I'm not hoping you're." I'm like, "Well, there you go." It was that easy. So just always kind of just test words. Always want to test the prophetic. And just see what the Lord has for you. So, anyway, hope is my word for the year. Last year was grace. The year before that was make us great. So as I was walking into this, I was like, hope is actually a thing for me that I've actually struggled with. I've been kind of, I wouldn't say hopeless, but for me, I don't dream of the Lord anymore. I have dreams every night, which is awesome. I'm super grateful for that.
Yeah.
But I don't have what we could call it a sanctified imagination. I'm not like dreaming with God. I'm like, what are you doing about it? And so I'm kind of, this word is as much for me, actually probably more for me than maybe for you, but it really is. Because I really believe the Lord wants to give me hope. And I think He wants to give this body hope.
Amen.
And if you are hopeless, I really hope this encourages you. And at the end, we'll do some ministry time so you can come forward and receive just a word of blessing in that. So as going back to this theological virtues, there's really no question again that love is forever. But we won't need faith and hope later when Jesus comes, but we need faith and hope today. And it helps us actually relate to the Lord. And this is really the joy of it. I think these theological virtues, again, they shape our walk with God. Cardinal virtues, again, are the things that relate to man, so how we relate to each other. Prudence, justice, forbearance, and temperance and fortitude. But love, beyond love today, is I want to focus on hope. What is hope? And so today, I will hopefully answer a little bit of what hope is. And I think honestly, faith is going to walk together. So I really do think they are hand in hand. We need faith for hope, and hope needs for faith and hope. So let's look at this. I got this from Google. I don't remember exactly where, but you know, thankfully we have this crazy thing called the internet. And it says biblical hope is built on faith. Hope is the earnest anticipation that comes with believing something good. Hope is a confident expectation that naturally stems from faith. Hope is a peaceful assurance that something that hasn't happened yet will indeed happen. Romans 8:24 says, hope that is seen is no hope at all. Yeah. Who hopes for what they already have? We don't, it's kind of like last week, I think James was talking about the Pharisees were asking, asking Jesus, like, how come your disciples aren't fasting? It's like, well, I'm here right now. You don't need to fast when you have the party.
Yeah.
Right? And it's kind of like with hope. We don't need hope. We have the answer. Well, we need hope today because he hasn't yet come.
Yes.
And so we need the hope. And we're putting our faith in the hope. So it's important when we look at this. I think it's important to God, and I want to go back to the end of Hebrews 6:18-20. You guys can go there. I didn't tag it on there again, but I'm going to actually do this. I think, I don't know if it's on there or not, but I'm going to do it verse 19 and 20. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. It says, we have this certain hope, like a strong, unbreakable anchor, holding our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm, beyond the sacred threshold, and where Jesus, our forerunner, has gone in before us. He is now and forever our royal priest like Melchizedek. Amen. So, I really think we have a battle going on. And so, I call it the battle of hope. Sounds official, doesn't it? I do think that it's a very fascinating spiritual battle. And so this is related. So who here hates snakes? Yeah. I hate spiders. No kind of spiders? What's a spider? Who wants a snake in their house? No thanks. You know, like good day. Hey. I hate snakes. They're like, oh. I'm amazed that people, I've seen these videos of people, and they're like holding pythons or petting them, they have them in their house, and they let them run around their house. What in the world are you doing? You are letting this thing that can like literally size you up and devour you, like hang out in your house. We might, I don't understand. Anyway, I think honestly, this is kind of like the spiritual similarity of the battle of hope. We have these things that we have given ground to. So I really think that, it says in the Bible, the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Last year I taught that the enemy is trying to take away the church's identity as a house of prayer for all nations.
Yeah.
And I think he's also, it's a cunning and baffling enemy. You know, just like the python, people, they thought, oh, this is the prettiest thing. It's so shiny. It's got this amazing skin. It's like, wow, it's beautiful. And it won't hurt me. It won't hurt me. It won't hurt my kids. It won't take my dog and eat it. Like, but it could.
Yeah.
Honestly. And honestly, I feel like, the enemy is a snake. Its first appearance in the Bible to man was what?
Snake.
Yeah. Really kind of think that in the battle of hope, the enemy is like a python. And it's people think, oh, it's harmless. But it isn't. Yeah. So this pet, we make room for it, right? We make a stronghold, a stranglehold. These things called agreements in our lives that that actually like give room for the enemy to kind of have like a place. These are those things where hope gets taken out. In Romans 1:25 says, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature, the snake, rather than the creator. The creator is blessed forever. Amen. Yeah. It strangles, it chokes, it quenches our faith. It's our faith that leads us to answered prayers. We don't even know it, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. We're spiritually dying. This is how cunning and baffling this enemy is. This battle for hope, we don't even realize we could be in the middle of it today.
Yeah.
I could be in the middle of it today. Like I said, I've been feeling less hopeful for years. Could it be that I have let the enemy have ground? It's very possible. So this is what happens when we are without hope, when we're without faith. We lose our belief. We have no testimony. We have no reason to walk with the Lord. We become disconnected, indifferent, and shackled to low expectations of God. We become hopeless. This is kind of a heavy word, isn't it?
Yeah.
Friends, I really do think the church, not us, but I think like literally the big C, like the big church, we're kind of shackled to low expectations of God.
Yeah.
But if we stand on the promises, if we are actually, as we're going into this, I'm going to show you some things that we can do to fight back,
yeah,
to take ground back, to actually have hope. So as we look at this, the next thing, the way we do that is this thing I call the seed bed. Hope is the seedbed. I don't know if anyone here likes to grow things. But how do you grow? You have to have good soil, right? Otherwise, you're kind of in trouble. And so I think hope is like that. So we're going to look at a lot of scripture here. So Romans 15:13, if you guys want to go there, it'll be on the screen. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and believing, so that by the power of Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. It's such a good word. May the God of hope, the source, he is the God of hope. He is the provider. He makes it happen. May he fill you with joy and peace. These are the ingredients. May he fill you with the ingredients of hope, all joy and peace, believing. And in that, by the power of the Holy Spirit in you, the ingredients combined, it's kind of like he's making this really amazing recipe, right? So it's either a seed bed or it's maybe the oven. We're getting some good bread here in a minute. Hallelujah. It's either a beautiful flour or some really good dinner. Come on. But yeah, he's putting in you, he's activating that hope. He's activating hope by what? By the Word, by the Holy Spirit. He's creating all these things. It's so cool. So, if you go on to verse 15, verse 4, it says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance, through encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Yeah, so just an encouraging word.
Yes.
Yeah, come on. Psalm 130, verse 5. I literally thought this should be the like verse we would read together instead of getting like 600 verses. But 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. Come on.
Yeah.
In his word I hope. I wait for the Lord. I encourage you guys, I don't know if you guys do this. I love sometimes in my quiet times, I call it waiting on the Lord. I literally just put on some soaking music. I don't do anything. I put my Bible. Bible down, and I just sit and I wait on the Lord. I'm like, what are you doing, Father? What do you have for me?
Yeah.
When we wait on the Lord, it's kind of like steeping tea. You don't want tea in the first 5 seconds, right?
No.
Better in about 3 minutes. It just, yeah, it steeps. The Lord is wanting to work in you. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. 3 seconds versus 3 minutes is a lot different. There's a lot that happens, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like that. So wait for the Lord. Let your soul wait. Listen. And then hope. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Amen. I love Jeremiah 29:11. I think everyone is probably like at least three of our most favorite verse of all. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. I want to look at this just a little bit as well. I love the very beginning. It says, for I know the plans I have. He's made plans for you, friends. Like, he's not just like, well, I'm going to throw the dice and you just do whatever you want. He's made plans for you. Like, before you were born, he's already, like, created things that you get to be a part of with him. And he's waiting for you.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to act in him. He's waiting for you. I have plans for you. That's kind of a big deal. Isn't that kind of cool? There's stuff that he is like, I can't wait. So waiting for that. I have plans for you. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future. To give you more life. Amen. He wants more life, right? Yeah. And hope. That word in Hebrews, tikvah. In Israel, their hope was anchored in steadfast love and the promises of Yahweh. Their whole expectation, that is really what hope is an expectation, right? They have this expectation that God is always there. They have a pillar of fire and of cloud. They knew he was with them. So many years. They knew he was with them over and over and over. They had an expectation because they seen it and they knew he would do it again. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, but the conviction of things not seen. Biblical hope is the ground for faith to live and grow. So what is it? Hope for Christians is different than hope for the world, right? We hear people say, "My hope for this." In the world, it's just like, "Oh, maybe I'll get something," right? It's kind of like what you wish for. Biblical hope is different. It's a feeling of expectation, a desire for something good to happen, based on what's already happened. Yeah. Faith, the story of God already affects how we have hope. What has already happened from the Lord, and what he said in the Bible, even when it's not certain. This is, I think, really an important part, because so much of the church today, we're kind of leaning on our own understanding. This idea of friend Keith, I'm going to out you on this one. He gave me this word years ago. The church is shackled to low expectations of God. I just think it's such a good assessment of what happens in our church today. And really, we're kind of like, well, I wish for this, instead of, God, what are you saying in your word? What are you telling me in my dreams? What are you telling me that through a prophetic word, through all these different facets? We're not really actively walking in what God wants to do. We're not talking to Him hour by hour, minute by minute. I highly recommend that. I really hope you guys start doing that. I love this song, Cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Yeah. So it matters. Hope matters. Hope is complementary to faith. Faith is, again, grounded in the reality of the past, while hope is looking to the reality of the future together. It could be that the people say that faith comes before hope. I think in a way it does, but I really do believe that faith is dependent on hope. Because we're actually putting in the seed bed, we're putting the seeds of the word, the things that God is speaking to us, into the seedbed, and that begins faith. So which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Yes. We need them both. Yeah. So how do we get hope? I think this is really the kind of application, I guess. I think we have hope. It comes to us in a few different ways. I love Psalm 147, verse 11. It says, "The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." Yeah. Again, Jeremiah 29:11. Again, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." So we have hope. I think the first thing I have there, if you go to the next one, number one. Yeah. So we get hope from faith in what God has already done. So this is our confidence, right? This is where we set our hope. When He's done it, He's going to do it again. I love the song, "Do It Again." Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, it's kind of wonderful that we have so many songs and speak to our hearts about this message. I love it. So 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it." Psalm 126:4, "Now, Lord, do it again. Restore us to our former glory. May streams of your refreshing flow over us until our hearts are drenched again." That was from the Passion. I just think about the Exodus, and the story of the Israelites actually finally getting into the Promised Land. Both have God making a way, right? The first time they're leaving Egypt, they're facing this massive body of water, like, "God, what are you going to do? Like, we're kind of in a bad spot." So Moses sticks his staff in the water and God moves. He makes a way. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen 2 million people on foot walking someplace. It had to take more than 10 minutes to get across, right? Like, this is kind of a big deal. But God made a way that every single person made it across the Red Sea. And not a single chariot, not a single Egyptian soldier lived. Man, that's incredible. So 40 years later, through all sorts of crazy stories, finally, they're like, "Okay, we'll go where you want us to go." They're like, "Okay." And then here again, they're like, "Wow, there's this big body of water called the Jordan River." And this time, the priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and they go walk into it, and God does it again.
Yeah.
He makes a way. Millions of people walk across on dry ground into his promise. He's done it again. This is that. We put our faith because we've seen him do something. We put our hope in that because he's done it. He's gonna do it again. Amen?
Amen.
Come on. It's such a good word.
Yeah.
If he's done something in your life, he's gonna do it again. I love this passage in Revelation. To be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Our testimony is a huge deal. Don't forget your testimony. Don't forget your story, because those are the things that give us hope. It gives others hope. We are here to encourage each other. This isn't just for you. You're here for each other. We are a body, right? I need a kneecap. I might be an ankle. We need each other. We all need the body together. You guys are that.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Yeah. So we get hope through him doing things again. He does it differently, I think, every time, but he does it the same. It's kind of weird to say that. He's so creative. He's so cool. No wonder there's so many Christians, right? So the second one, we have hope. From his word and the promises inside it. Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. Yeah, friends, this is such a powerful book. We stand on the promises. There's 7,000 promises in the Bible. That's a couple, right? Like literally every topic you need, there is an answer for if you look for it. Use your phone. I mean, I did it this morning. What is your promises? What have you declared? And if somebody speaks your word, you'll do it. There's a couple. Created over it. Anyway, I just want to encourage you. And there's that. There's also, I have this really fun little God's Promises book. It has a table of contents. There's all of the promises of God. This is in the New King James Version. I highly recommend, if you want, just get the Promises book. It's like the Bible. It is the Bible, but it helps it digest it a little faster. Anyway, the word is the promise. I call this hope, this message, standing on the promises. And I really think this is one of the biggest issues we have in the body. We don't eat enough. And I think eating is reading.
Yes.
I think I do this too. I love the Bible app. But sometimes I'm like, well, I'm just gonna open up the Bible app and get the verse of the day. Maybe that'll take me someplace, but sometimes it's all I do. Come on, right? I need to eat more.
Yeah.
We need to eat more, friends. Like, this is where the hungry people go. Lord, I pray that you make us hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So next is, the third one is, we have hope from a renewed mind. I love this verse from Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. This is a lot. Honestly, But I think it's an important thing, because as we think about walking in hope, he has to change our agreements. He has to illuminate the things that we don't necessarily, you know, the snake exists. We need to see these things. We need a renewal of how we actually understand him in us. And this renewed mind is fascinating. I heard caterpillars, when they're in chrysalis, their DNA changes when they actually become a butterfly. They're actually a completely completely new creation. I think that's when we become followers of Jesus, we're actually a whole new creation.
Yeah.
Our mind should be renewed. I love this. That we would have metamorphosis by the renewal, by the change in new life, change of our heart values. What are we actually putting in agreement to? Our heart value should change according to the Lord, according to what He has for us, the riches of the Lord and His hope. Right? Yeah. We do this, it says, by testing. So we do this by examining. This is where I think we really need to look at what are we agreeing to? What are the things that the enemy is stealing our hope from? Look and see. Ask the Father, please reveal to me anything that is in disagreement with what you've said. I really think this is a big deal for us as a body. We need to make sure we are walking in alignment with who He said we are. So we examine these things so that we can discern. Love it in Strong's, it says that they test metals. This is a good thing for a mining community, right? They test metals to see if they're pure. The writer adopted the same term to explain the process in this passage so that you would know what is the will. Is it is your way in line with God's will? Yeah, so His will can be His plans, just like He said, I have made plans for you in Jeremiah 29:11. His purposes for you, He has those. Are you walking in those? Are you actually functioning in those things? Or have you put blockades up? Not knowing, they're called stronghold, but do you have a stronghold that actually is handcuffing your ability to actually go and lift that? Or your feet are shackled, so you actually can't go. Ask the Lord to reveal those things to you. That way we know what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect will. And so this last one that I feel is one, this is more for me, maybe it's for you too, is this idea of sanctified imagination. I call it daydreaming. You guys daydream. But for me, I'm like, man, I want to dream with the Lord. I really want to know what His plans are for me. I hope you guys do too.
Yes.
And in this, I think there's really, I love these passages in here, Ephesians 1:17-19. It's such a good word. This is one of my favorite, what we call an apostolic prayer. And if ever you're like, I need to pray for somebody, this is pretty much an always go-to. I'm going to read it with you. It says, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I mean, you could just do that. You could just pray that over everybody you pray for forever and ever. Amen. But then He adds more, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what He has planned for you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His great might. This prayer is really one of my favorite prayers to pray over people, and I need to pray it over myself each day. Because I desire to have His wisdom, His revelation, His spirit sowing in me these seeds of His goodness, His strategy. What does He want to do with me? He's waiting for you to say, I want that too. And this is what I think the sanctified imagination is. It's kind of like if-then statements, literally. So God, if you said this, then this should happen, right? If, then. It's really good. God, if you said this, then maybe this could happen. And I encourage you, as we're, I think, in a couple weeks,
the ministry planning time? The 25th. Yeah, I encourage you, even today, just start saying, well, you know, I had this idea. So look for promises, look for things that fit into those ideas for ministry, and just start daydreaming with God. If this God did life, what could this look like if this happened? What could this happen? What could happen if this grew? What would happen if?
Yeah.
This is sanctified imagination. Dreaming with God. Yeah, I just want to dream with God. And it's literally been a prayer request of mine for years. I just want to do something that He wants to do. It's really makes my heart beat fast. Like, you know, when you're a kid, what do you want to do when you grow up, right? Like, that's kind of this. But as a middle-aged guy, dreams are different. Like, they kind of don't really, just to be honest, they're kind of like, So, that's where my challenge is in this message. I love Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. What do you do? 2 Corinthians 10:5, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, those things are measured by the word. We test it. So, if somebody gives you a prophetic word, pick up the Bible saying, is this aligned with God? If it doesn't, you just don't have to use it. We'll see. Like, it's an okay thing to do. You really should do that all the time. Set your minds on things that are above. In the same light, I know I think it was on Monday we were all together praying. And if you guys have time, come, 5 o'clock each this week. I try to make that a couple of them. But anyway, it was really beautiful. Samantha was talking about the armor of God. Sit down. She's like, you really need to use the armor of God all the time. I'm totally agree. Like, it is such an imperative. Ephesians 6, just download that, read it every morning as part of your quiet time process. Put on the armor of God. In that same time, I felt like the Lord was showing us to have courage. We need to have courage, and we have to have the armor to have courage. And in that courage, we actually can face the fear of man and actually act upon what the Lord is doing. The fear of man is such a stealer of hope. It's one of the biggest issues in the church today. So, I think I have application. First of all, identify the battle for hope in your life. So ask the Lord, show me any strongholds, show me any agreements, any entitlements, low expectations that go against actually Christ in you, the hope of glory. If the power of Jesus is in you, which it is, but you're like, I can't do that, that's actually going against the truth of what God has said. What happens when we start actually moving in the power of God? Come on, that's one of the things I have hope for in this church, in my life. Yeah. So that's the first thing. So repent of those things. If you need to do that with somebody else, do so. It's awesome to do with things. You don't have to tell the world you have this issue. You just do one person. It's James 5:16. The second thing is tell your seatbelt. So our lives are the seatbelt. And if your ground is really hard, it's not going to get anywhere, right? It's not going to go. It's not going to get water. It's rough. So tell your seatbelt. So you do that by reading the word, worshiping. There's a lot of different ways you can worship. I like to sing, but I like to work. There's things I do that are actually just done unto the Lord. And so that's worship. Prayer. Huge thing. Pray often. Yeah. It's kind of difficult to me. And relate to Father constantly. There's this amazing guy named Brother Lawrence. He wrote this tiny little book in like 1600 called Practicing the Presence. And literally every 15 to 30 seconds, he asked God, what has he done? He was so in tune with what the Father was doing. He always was like, he was ahead of everybody. He was like, oh yeah, God's going to do this. Like, would that be so cool? Yes, it would.
Amen.
Relate with your Father constantly. You can literally just ask him, what are you doing right now, God? And listen, just practice hearing. Because he will speak to you. He really wants to relate to you. And I think there's one more, yeah. Lastly, daydream with God. Set your hopes on what he is showing you. Yeah, daydream with God. It's something as adults, you know, you tell your kids, don't daydream, right? Well, I'm telling you, daydream. Get distracted by what God is doing. What if this? What if this? What if this? That is. So, that is my word today. I pray that it has blessed you. I pray that if there's any of you that are like, man, I've been hopeless. I really feel a challenge in my own life. And I need hope.
Yeah.
I really encourage you to come up. Except if you just put some instrumental music on. Yeah, if you guys want to go, you can. But I really just encourage you, if the elders can come up over you. Just to come up and minister to you guys, because this is not a time you need to run. This is a time you need to fight. And these things are, they can be really simple, they can also be really, really deep. And it's okay, either way. But we just come together, Father, just invite you here right now, God, that you are tilling the soil of this church. You're building hope in us. Father, that you would make us hopeful. That your hope would spring eternal. That you're teaching us how to learn to hear your voice. To apply your word for your kingdom to come here like it is in heaven. We just bless you, Lord, and bless this body now. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so if you want to go, you can. There's some yummies out there. If you want some ministry time, just come on. Be happy to.